They stopped believing in what? If there was a man dropping shit under your tree, guess what? You'd never stop believing in that. Not once in your life. You'd be like, oh good, the man came back.
I know what I'm about, Annalie. I want a woman who can tie me up with my own blood.
It's got a little beak in the center of its crotch, and so do I.
What are we if not leather bags?
Jesus Christ, you made it so much worse.
He could still be like a dill.
We're not doing this here.
Annalie's been taken by the bell.
You just wanted to get that on recording.
Good evening to only those who know that all eels come from the same sea.
Welcome to Genre Blind, a podcast where we break down the cliches that make pop culture orange and spooky like a pumpkin.
Every episode, we use the random trope feature on TV Tropes to spark discussions about the media therein.
You are contractually obligated to phrase all questions or comments in the form of a compliment. This is a swearing podcast. We both have degrees, and you're just going to have to trust us on this. His name is Diggs Brown.
And her name is Annalie Tominelli. And this is Genre Blind. Listeners, I have something to share with you that Annalie already knows.
Ooh.
I just ate a bunch of raw meat, and if the audio changes midway through this recording, is because I had to leave and go to the hospital.
But we won't tell you what kind of meat it was.
But it was raw, and my cat was fighting me for it.
But we can't tell you what entity it came from.
It was, can I say, delicious?
Was it delicious?
It was actually so good.
Well, maybe you just like your meat cooked raw.
Well, I really do like, I prefer like rare steaks and like, you know, that's or like rare burgers and like stuff like that.
Yeah.
But when I was making this meat, I wasn't intending for it to be raw.
Right. Bloody raw.
I was intending it to be medium rare, but right. I got blood dripping down my hand from biting it raw.
Yeah. I hear some sirens in the background, which means that they know what kind of meat you ate.
Fuck.
They know what flavor it is.
It's not just that I live in the Wii U city.
You know, good news about that, and by good news, I mean not great news, is I now sleep through fire engines.
Yep.
Like when I went home to the suburbs, there was like this huge parade of fire trucks all blaring. And I woke up like an hour later and my parents were like, did you hear the fire trucks? And I'm like, absolutely not. I don't wake up for that kind of stuff.
It makes me sleep through like when people have like normal alarms, like that aren't like music. It makes me sleep through that.
Yeah. You have to be strategic about your alarms. Well, good news is you now have a taste for blood and you've become significantly more useful to me.
Well,
yeah. Unfortunately, I don't have the same ability to eat meat.
Raw
so
meat.
I need somebody else to do it for me.
Well.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Spooky Season. We're back, full tilt towards cannibalism by popular demand.
Yay. We got so many complaints that last episode didn't have enough cannibalism.
Now it's back in, against our better judgment.
Against my worst judgment, we left it out last time.
I just wanted to see if we could do it, and we...
It turns out I can.
It turns out you can. It's like if somebody says schmannibal schmism, you're going to be like, what did you say? Cannibalism? And then the other person says, what were you thinking? Cannibalism. Crazy.
Cannibalism got brought up last time because I was talking about Muppets that are houses.
After talking about how houses eat people? Interesting.
Okay, but houses are not people.
Speaking of Muppets.
What?
I just finished my watch through of Labyrinth.
And Annalie is horned up on David Bowie.
I forget how much this movie means to me. The reason why I'm watching it is because I finally got the wig and will officially be dressing up like Jareth for Halloween. So catch me.
Yes.
Catch me living out my best life.
We'll post photos.
We'll post photos. If I look good, if I don't, nobody will see it.
I'm still going to post photos.
The thing is, I can think of little else, but you forget that every single one of those little goblins in that movie is technically a Muppet,
yeah.
A Jim Henson Muppet.
All Muppets.
Except for David Bowie, that fine, fine slice.
He might still be a Muppet.
He could be a Muppet. You never know.
Depends where Jim Henson put his hand.
Jesus Christ. And speaking of things that...
You can stick your hands in.
You can stick your hands in. We're going to be doing something a little bit special this episode, in light of the spooky season.
We're playing horror roulette.
We're playing horror roulette. We've done it before with, which one was it?
Sidekicks.
But we're doing this for just horror tropes in general. What we've done is we've gotten all of the horror tropes off of TV Tropes, and I'm going to be
rolling. Or at least their big list of horror tropes.
Their big
list. The ones that are like horror. horror, not the ones that are just like...
A little bit unsettling, yeah. These are like horror tropes with a capital H, and I've got a random number generator between 1 and, listen, 548. And so we're going to be seeing what this lands on and letting fate decide what we talk about.
Yep.
But whatever it is, we can guarantee that it will be at least a little bit spooky. A little bit grippy.
But probably not spoopy.
But not spoopy. We swore off that stuff. Haven't done that since the 80s.
We don't do spoop.
No.
Roll it up.
All right, let's do it. Ready? We've got, boom. The first one is going to be 279.
So this trope is in that order, which is basically a list of horrific things that ends with in that order.
Ooh, okay.
So an example of it is from Planet of the Apes, like the original one, not the weird remake. If they catch you, they'll dissect you and kill you. In that order.
Perfect.
Which often it gets combined with the trope of murder, arson, and jaywalking, where you're like, they're gonna steal all our money and eat our son, and they might even post on our blog.
That's like the Hermione...
Or worse.
Expelled. Hey, if there were to be just like, do you know how ghosts get sometimes petty? In that they'll just like unpack boxes that you just packed or like repack or, you know, whatever. They'll like open a cabinet or like move something to hide it. What is the most vexing thing that a ghost can do to inconvenience your life that would actually kind of ruin your life?
My whole life or like my day?
Your day, probably.
They could take my badge that gets me into my building.
Oh, yeah. Any kind of like hiding keys is so bad. If I were to be a ghost, I would not like try and scare people. I would just try and like ruin their day every day.
Or alter it. So like let my human make their coffee, let them take a couple sips, and then when they go shower, I pour rum in it.
Yeah.
Once it's already packed in its to-go cup.
All right, I've got another number. Are you ready?
Wait, before we move on, I have to say the Bo Burnham one of... I like Oreos and pussy. Yep, in that order.
Oh my god!
Yeah, it's not great.
A special flavored. So we've got 355.
No immortal inertia. So this is a centuries-old immortal loses the source of their eternal life, which often results in quickly being reduced to a corpse.
Ooh.
Right off the top of my head, this happens in The Hunger, which is another vampire movie where there's a vampire who, like, turns little, like, playthings and keeps them young for about 200 years. And then once she moves on from one of them and picks a new one, they just, like, rapidly deteriorate into a corpse.
Oh my god.
And I'm pretty sure David Bowie's in that movie too.
Oh, what?
Yeah. He plays the new toy.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, next one to watch. Oh, goody gumdrops. The first thing that I thought of was Mother Gothel.
Oh, facts.
How, the hair disappears and then she instantly, like, goes from her age to really super old. Which, I'm gonna be honest, I don't love the rapid aging thing. I wish that they just, like, lost their stuff and have to live, like, a life normally.
Yeah, just, like, regular time.
But I'm gonna be honest, I feel like all of this kind of, like, forever young sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know how just life goes faster and faster with each passing year.
Yeah.
I feel like I want to see more of the very, very absent-minded vampires who have lived for so long with a human brain that they're just so scatterbrained because they can't even perceive time anymore. Our primate brains are not supposed to live this long. And so time for them passes in the blink of an eye, so how could they be friends with anybody? How could they make a relationship or even exist? They would be the most absent-minded thing in the whole wide world.
Absolutely.
Oh my god.
That straight up happens, or is referenced at least in Good Omens, of Crowley sleeping through an entire century.
Yeah.
Just because, like, he's a demon and he's forever and he just, you know, went to sleep.
Which I love. We think that they would just get, like, wise and timeless, but I no way, right? Unless it was very specific in the way that they did it so that your whole biology changed. If you're just a human who is granted immortality, you're going to start getting wacky.
Yeah.
With no consequences sort of thing. Or, like, even the whole, like, if you live forever, your chances of being buried alive increase.
Only exponentially increase.
Yeah, I mean, increase to certainty. So
it'll happen.
Yeah, like, if you're infinitely old, you will get buried alive at some point. mind.
Yeah, that's why unconditional immortality freaks me out so much. Mm-hmm. Like, first of all, I would never want to be immortal in the first place. But if I had to be, I would have to know, like, what's my way out?
Yeah.
I need at least a vampire out of, like, the stake or, like, whatever it happens to be. Like, I need to just know.
Yeah.
So that, like, if the sun explodes, I can just, like...
Yep. Yep. Yeah. You can just be like, all right, I'm dipping. Sorry, this has been fun, but I gotta go.
Lol, I gotta... Bye.
Bye-bye. Or, like, live with other immortals. Like, if everybody's living that long, then that's, like, all well and good. You can at least talk or something.
Right.
But you don't see the heat death of the goddamn universe.
Yeah, I do not want to see the heat death of the universe.
But I'm gonna be honest. Whenever this happens, like, in a movie, when there is just that goober that destroys mm-hmm. everything, I'm like, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Oh, thank God. That would be so much work if it didn't happen this way.
Oh, this is fucking... This happens in Dorian Gray,
yeah.
Like the picture of Dorian Gray. But it's one of those things where it's like, it's so heightened because he should only be like early middle age at that point.
Yeah.
It's just like, whatever, he's a heathen or whatever. But like, he's this like mangled fucking corpse.
He just becomes like an adult man who just
because
like...
he was like what, early 20s, and then they, when his like his house people find him, it's just this like sunken bent corpse.
I fucking love that.
And he's supposed to be like 50.
He's hideous. He's a mangled shell of what he once was. It's like, nah. He's just an empty nester. He just needs to find a hobby now.
Yeah, like he could still be like a dilf. Like, what are we doing?
They straight up check on his picture, and it's just like a normal dude, but like in
his
50s.
A guy. He has a little like crow's feet around his eye.
Yeah, his hairline's receding.
Oh, mangled. Horrifying beat.
His hairline's receding slightly. He just like kind of let himself go, and they're like, oh, he's hideous. God.
He's like, he's salt and pepper, but you can barely tell because he's blonde.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. He like aged like a white person, but he didn't age like really bad or anything.
Yeah.
He's been living a fine life, so he's, you know, he's pretty fit.
Arthur is sprinting around my room right now. If you're wondering what that sounds.
It's a clang clang. It's the teeny tiny king of England. So
yeah.
The once and future king. We've got a number. Oh wait, are we supposed to be saying who's who?
Are we?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Rapid aging, I'm gonna say, is probably me, I would assume.
Yeah, I'm gonna be a child forever.
Yeah, I feel like like if you destroy my bag or something, I instantly start disintegrating.
Yeah, I think actually that is true. I think if I like burned your leather bag, you would like wither into a husk.
Yeah. I have like
whereas I would seek like eternal vengeance if you destroyed my backpack.
It's just the immortal off switch. I think that feels right.
I think I would be in that order.
You think you'd be in that order?
Because I have a tattoo of the Oxford comma.
Oh, that is so true. There is a grammatically correct order to things.
Yeah.
All right, we've got 46.
Oh, yes.
What is it?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Just like
No, we're not doing
this
here.
Bring the apocalypse.
We're not doing this here. Not on the podcast. Not in front of God.
But it's relevant.
How?
Belly mouth.
One more time?
Belly mouth. When a mouth opens up in your stomach. I'm referencing a very specific fan fiction that is based off of TMA and Videodrome.
Jesus Christ.
Have you seen Videodrome?
I have not seen Videodrome, but I've heard you talk extensively about Videodrome.
I will use Videodrome to explain belly mouth to the listeners. The main character is sitting and watching TV, and suddenly his chest spasms, and he reaches down, and there is just a gaping opening in his stomach, kind of like a mouth, kind of like a VCR. Mostly like a vagina. And he's like touching it and stuff, and he's able to put like his whole hand in it, and he puts a whole VHS tape into his stomach and then puts a gun in there, and then the gun's just in his body. It's extremely sexual.
Does he start playing a little movie?
No, he like engages like with Videodrome, and it's oh, it's extremely good.
So it's not like he pulls something off the shelf and is just like, oh shit, this is Care Bears, the old cartoon VHS version. He puts it into his belly. It turns out it's the original Aladdin VCR, and he's like, VHS, and he's like, oh shit,
so much worse.
He's like, wait, this is bad.
I thought it was gonna be weird torture porn.
I thought it was gonna be really sexy, but turns out it's just actually really sexy because the genie canonically fucks. So
yeah, that's
you facts. Know I'm right. You know I'm right.
I know you're right.
Like, that's the thing. We all know the genie fucks. Hey, everybody, just think about it. The genie fucks, right?
He uses his little wispy tail.
Jesus Christ, you made it so much worse. Anyway, this one happened. This happens in Fullmetal Alchemist with Gluttony.
Oh.
It's one of my favorite moments when they're chasing him around and he just has like a beam that comes out of his terrifying stomach because he's otherwise just like a bit of a shrimpy, goofy character. Mm-hmm. And then he like opens his stomach mouth and it's just nothing comes out of there. It's actually rather terrifying. Or in a less scary way, if you've ever seen people draw little tummies with their faces and go whoop, 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 whoop with their belly button.
I have actually seen that.
I've never done it myself, but you know.
I've not done this.
I've never done it myself, but
this happens in Treasure Planet. There's like a guy on the ship. His face and mouth are on his stomach. Yeah.
Oh,
and then
yeah,
there's like
I remember
a guy
that.
And it's like another guy that's like sitting on top of him.
Yeah. I remember that. Oh man, it's been a while since I've seen that movie. It's good.
I think about that movie fucking constantly.
You should. I mean, Captain Amelia, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's great. She's really cool.
It also happens in Five Nights at Freddy's 4, which according to Anna Lee doesn't have any lore.
You just wanted to get that on recording.
Anna Lee said to me in real life, I didn't know Five Nights at Freddy's had lore.
Yada, 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 yada.
So this is, everyone please DM Anna Lee all of the things you know about Five Nights at Freddy's.
Oh my god, if I get a flood of information, then I'm going to absolutely just, like, message you back everything I know about the fucking Voynich manuscript. That's it.
So,
you're gonna fucking get, like, DMs back being like, hey, did you know that jellyfish actually have a neural network, but it's actually a two-pronged neural network, and that is the largest one, and I'm just gonna fucking flood you with a bunch of bullshit you didn't want to know!
Well, this sounds like an enticing thing.
I know, right?
I'm gonna message you everything I know about Five Nights at Freddy's.
Hey, listen, I'll go on. We can chat about these goobers. These are just my most recent things.
Annalie, what sorts of critters have mouths on their stomachs?
Well, it depends on, like, what kind of thing. I mean, starfish do, and they just eat. But also, like, a lot of sea mouths aren't where they're supposed to be. Like, you know, if you're talking cephalopods, they're in the center of their brain. If they eat something too big, they literally die.
I think we can count that as belly mouth.
I know, right? Like, does a squid, where's a squid's belly? Is it on the mantle? We're just not sure.
And then what does it have, like, a foot mouth? Like,
yeah, right? Like, where is it, a crotch mouth? We're just not sure. It's got a little beak in the center of its crotch, and so do I. Real quick, before we move on from this trope, I also need to say that there's a character in Centaur World that steals things by shoving them into its belly.
What the fuck?
Yeah, and it's just like the character is just like a klepto. And I'm going to be honest, I 100% thought that it was going to be like a tired joke, but then it turned out to be delightful the whole way through. That whole entire show was always just like, I stole it! And I'm like, wow, that never gets old. I wish I could store things into my belly, because then I wouldn't need...
But then you won't have your bag.
I'd be the bag.
But they'd become part of you.
Are we just all bags?
You could just swallow things yourself.
I know. Hey, Diggs, we might just all be a bag.
I mean, we are. What are we if not leather bags?
Anyway, next. Wait, who is this? Who is this belly mouth?
See, you want one.
That's true.
But I engage with more media containing them and have made a significant amount of money reading about them online.
Holy shit, you're right.
I've done it a couple times.
Holy shit.
But in my defense, I was never the one with it. I was just filming.
So I think...
And it was a cassette, not a VHS tape.
Of course. I would say as far as belly mouth goes, I suppose I'll be belly mealy mouth.
You were the one who was like, yeah.
I'll fall on this sword and I'll be belly mouth.
You'll fall on the sword and make yourself a belly mouth?
And make myself into a belly mouth.
They slap, TBH.
They slap. And then you slap the belly and it goes...
Just like that fucking octopus in Return to Neverland.
Oh, wait, it's instead of the ticking clock, right?
Yeah.
It was, okay, real quick, what are your thoughts on that octopus? Is it good? Is it bad?
Okay, so Return to Neverland is one of my favorite movies childhood. Mm-hmm. I love Return to Neverland. I think it is so good.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, I have to like that fucking octopus.
I was gonna say...
I prefer the crocodile.
I was gonna say, I feel like the octopus is just a cop-out from the crocodile.
Yeah, the octopus isn't good and is not that compelling, but like the rest of the movie is so good that it's kind of like you can forgive it. It's also, the crocodile wouldn't have had enough to do.
That's fair.
If they had used the crocodile, like she wouldn't have been able to like participate in it.
Right, right.
Because it's mostly like a Jane-centric story.
Mm.
Anyway, we're not gonna talk about why I like that movie. Next trope.
For our next trope, we've got 202.
For doom the bell tolls.
What?
A single plaintive church bell, given its time to fade away in an appropriately haunting manner. It's a way to add ominous potent to any soundtrack, and it's commonly used to evoke death or execution. So basically, it's just when there's like a gong in the background or something happening. It can get combined with ominous pipe organ, orchestral bombing, ominous Latin chanting, and xylophones for walking bones.
Yes. Anything with religious imagery is going to have a lot of this, which means a lot of Death Note.
Christmas Carol.
Yeah, like even just like the, hey, wake up, it's time.
Well, it's also like each ghost is triggered with the...
Yeah, exactly.
The bell. Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Yeah, Bells of Notre Dame. This is great. All of these bells, they're big and they're brassy and they're sensual.
Mm-hmm.
And they mean that somebody's dying.
There's something called the cloister bell in the TARDIS. And it only goes off during, like, very serious situations.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it first appears, like, with the Fourth Doctor, and then it also comes back during Trial of a Time Lord. It comes back in Midnight. It's at the end of Waters of Mars, End of Time. It's in 11th Hour. Like, it's just when fucking bad shit is happening, specifically, like, in the TARDIS, or that the Doctor needs to be aware of, the cloister bell goes off. And it's a very specific sound.
That's incredible. These bells are great. They're just so... I love Catholic imagery. I've never been Catholic myself.
I have.
I know. I know. I was very, very Christian, non-denominational, so I essentially grew up in a cult.
Yeah, you definitely did.
Like mega church. Like I went 4 days a week sort of thing.
That's fucking wild.
Yeah, right? It was a book club for nerds. But the thing is
religion really is just a book club for fucking nerds.
It really is a specific book club where everybody freaks out over one book and they like argue about the characters all the goddamn time and the canon.
Mm-hmm.
But I've actually always genuinely loved like holy spaces in the way that I kind of like graveyards and libraries, because I like it when the air feels different. But anytime you hear the bells, I'm like, is God mad at me today? I can't tell.
Yeah. There's also just like, I feel like bells are never good. Like, I'm trying to think of like a purely innocent time that bells would be ringing aside from like a band is playing and there's like, you know, like that like stand-up bell thing.
There were like weddings. Like they rang on holidays.
Oh, I guess
too.
Wedding bells. But I'm trying to think, like, I'm thinking about like if someone in like purposefully rings a bell, they are like calling or alerting something.
Yeah.
They're like calling for, hello, is someone at the counter? I'm ringing the bell. Or like,
wait, are you talking about all bells?
Yeah, I'm talking about all bells.
In the whole, you're saying that no
bell
is a good
is bad.
Bell. What about the bell of somebody walking into like a shop, like a shop bell?
Danger! A customer has entered. You have now entered combat.
What about like a cat bell, like a cat running towards you bell?
He's coming.
He's coming. He's on his way.
I'm also thinking about like safety coffins and like their bells.
Oh, of course. The safety coffins are...
What good reason do you have for ringing a bell?
For when the cat comes. comes, Diggs, for when the cat comes
what
to you.
What if the cat is coming for you?
then you should cleave to the cat and let it turn you into a source of delicious food.
Also, bells are not good for the cat because people put the bells on so they can hear their cat, but their cat wants to be stealth, and the cat
That's
doesn't
fair.
Want the bell.
The cat does not want the bell. It wants to kill you. We've also got the whole, like, the AC/DC Hell's Bells.
Oh, yeah. And then the, what's his goddamn name? That motherfucker. Ernest Hemingway, for whom the bell tolls, which, like, trope
what's
namer.
What's that?
It's like a... It's
I'm
like
kidding.
A...
I know what it is.
I'm sorry.
I love that you were about to really explain to me for whom the bell tolls. Oh, well, you see, it's a thing. But what about
actually,
slave?
But the name of the trope comes from a poem by John Donne.
I love John Donne.
I'm sorry. I'm
so sorry for being a jerk.
No, I'm sorry for trying to explain for whom the bell tolls.
I don't usually do that. Usually even when people tell me things, I'm like, yeah, totally. I don't know that.
God.
I lied the other day because I really do play dumb for some reason a lot. But like somebody the other day is just like, I don't know how to use a fire extinguisher. I'm like, ugh, fucking me neither. And then they got the acronym wrong. They're like, it's like pull. And then I'm like, pull, aim, squeeze, side to side. And they were like, oh, wait, so you did know the acronym. I'm like, yes, I duped you. For no
I'm just lying.
Reason. I'm just lying. What about sleigh bells? Are sleigh bells nice bells?
No, because the Polar Express fucking traumatized me as a child. Because, wait, let me tell you why. So I got like the storybook version of the Polar Express.
Oh, yeah.
And the bell that came with it mm-hmm. was straight up broken and didn't have the little thing inside. And so when my mom went to like ring it at the end of the book, it didn't ring. And I was just like, I lost my fucking mind.
You're like, I don't believe. Which I think is absolute bullshit. That whole bell thing, because, you know, it's like, well, adults just start thinking that presents appear under the tree, so they don't believe in Santa Claus no more.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know, they stop believing in what? If presents are appearing under your tree, what are you not believing in?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry to anybody who listens to this podcast who thinks that Santa Claus is bringing you presents, but here's the fucking thing.
It's someone who loves you who's bringing you those presents.
Yeah, like, which arguably is way nicer.
Yeah, it's way cooler.
Which is way cooler. And they're like, oh yeah, you stop believing when you become an adult. And it's like, if there was a man dropping shit under your tree, guess what? You'd never stop believing in that. Not yeah. once in your life. You'd be like, oh good, the man came back.
You would be aware that the man came.
The man came. Good.
The thing is like, also then everyone would be hyper aware of like, oh, holidays are coming up and I really need to like, or I really need recording equipment, so I'm gonna be on my best behavior so the man comes and gives me the new microphone.
What a terrifying hold this man has over our lives.
Isn't this just reward systems at stores?
Yeah, pretty much. He's the capitalist. He is the omni-capitalist.
Well, but no, he's giving you those presents for free.
Oh, that's true.
Well, I guess there is the labor of like being quote unquote good.
Yeah.
But like, since it's like more of like an altruist, it's not like serve Santa Claus and believe in his scripture.
So
it's more of just like be nice to other people.
So next time somebody says that Santa Claus was red because of Coca-Cola, you can fire back, no, he's red because of communism.
The blood of angry men.
The blood of angry men. Also, what does Santa Claus determine as morality? Like, what?
Well, he knows if you've been bad or good.
Knows if I've been bad or good according to whomst?
Santa.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Actually, the person who decides our fates this year will be Arthur. Arthur will determine how Christmas goes for everyone.
Arthur Pendragon will decide. Honestly, he'll decide how my Christmas goes.
He will.
I'm trying to think of any other bells that are good bells.
Bells are bad.
Every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings.
I hate that movie. That movie makes me so stressed out.
That's fair.
Literally, the only good part of that movie is the sexual tension between that man and that angel. And I only think about that because I watched that movie after watching Supernatural. And I hate that fucking movie, and I had to watch it for a class, and it stresses me out.
Mary, why are you saying that, Mary?
Like, it actually, like, freaks me out. Like,
that's fair. That is very fair. Also, what I know would also freak me out if I was an angel just minding my own damn business and two giant wings sprang from my back without my knowing.
But if you're expecting it.
Yeah, but like, is it like a like an all at once thing? Are you just walking around like, whoom, they like burst right on out of your spine?
The angel has to earn the wings, right? So wouldn't you be aware that you had like put in the stuff to earn your wings?
I guess so. And then it's like an anytime now. So who's for Doom the Bell Tolls? I feel like it's you because you've got an anger against all bells.
I hate fucking bells. I hate bells.
That 100% of bells are not good bells. Okay, also, you know For Whom the Bell Tolls, which I'm impressed by.
When I was little, I went to a birthday party, and let me clarify, this was the Mean Girls birthday party. So some people were invited to sleep over, and others weren't, and everybody knew. It wasn't even secret.
Mm.
And obviously, I was not invited to sleep over.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole time, like, she was making it like, oh, it's like a fancy, like, dinner thing. Whenever she, like, she was, like, 8, but whenever she, like, needed something, like, her parents were the ones who were, like, obviously facilitating the party, she would ring, like, a bell, and one of her parents would be like, yes. And it like freaked me the fuck
Jesus,
out. Like
I knew what?
I knew this was just like they were just like play acting for like her birthday, like it was like a bit, right?
Yeah,
like I had made my parents wear like wizard robes and all sorts of nonsense and like dress up as like people from the Land of Oz for birthdays and stuff. But something about it just like hit me super wrong.
Yeah.
And I think bells are bad and I don't
That's
like
fair.
Them.
I mean, it's kind of like Pacifica Northwest has that bell.
Oh, it
that,
was
like,
exactly. Yes, it was that.
That like controls her. And every time they're just like, come on. Oh. Also in Over the Garden Wall, there's the ringing of the bell
compels you. Yes.
Yeah.
Bells are evil.
Bells are good.
No.
Bells are good because the bell told me to say that bells are good.
Annalie's been taken by the bell.
I've been taken by the bells. And we will be taken to the next trope, which is number 313.
Mad Woman in the Attic.
Mad Woman in the Attic. Oh my god.
Alright, so let's just start listing gothic books.
Jesus Christ. Mrs. Havisham.
Rochester, his wife.
Rochester's wife. Yep, even Rose for Emily.
Oh yeah.
Fucking Fall of the House of Usher, essentially.
Yeah, Flowers in the Attic.
Yeah, so I wrote a whole essay on the Mad Woman in the Attic trope from
Ooh.
Gothic literature. Like, that was what I obsessed over.
Fuck yes.
And how it's like, you know, she usually dies at the end of Gothic literature, and that's like her freedom is in death. Like,
in
you know,
death.
It's either the fire or she just like, it's usually a fire or like the destruction of the house that is containing her.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, you know, she's usually like dressed in some sort of perversion of white, which is like the flip on the ingenue, which is
right.
like, you know,
the
yada, yada, yada.
Mangled wedding dress.
I fucking love this trope. It's like such a good trope. I'm getting all flustered.
You should. I would argue Ariana Dumbledore.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely.
What about Boo Radley?
I mean, squirreled away in the attic. And usually it's somebody with either like some sort of trauma or disability or illness, which is, you know, crazy. Like even Toph, when she was still like fully in the thrall of like Beifong. Like total thing was kind of like, because nobody knew about her. They're just like, oh yeah, the Beifongs are the richest family, but they don't have a daughter because she was like squirreled away, you know?
Right.
Which brings me to A Bed, Wed, Behead. Are you ready?
I'm so ready.
We haven't had one of these in a long, long time. Avatar the Last Airbender, old people, bed, wed, behead. We've got Hama, we've got Bumi, we've got Iroh. What's your bed,
I
wed, behead?
I have my answer immediately.
Okay, what is
it? So, Bumi's getting beheaded.
What?
And Bumi's dead.
He's so chaotic.
I know. And then I'm marrying Iroh because that fucking makes sense.
Right.
And then I'm having fucking hella interesting sex with the bloodbending woman.
Just really fucking specific sex.
I know what I'm about, Annalie.
That's fair. That's fair. That's a good thing.
I want a woman who can tie me up with my own blood.
That is very fair. That makes a lot of sense.
Never worry about erectile dysfunction again.
Oh, man, that is so true. Wowza.
And you?
Oh, my God, are you kidding? I would absolutely bed Bumi, wed Iroh, because Iroh is the fucking best person in the whole wide world.
He is.
I love him so much. He's my favorite character in that whole series.
Excellent.
I love him. him. Anyway, sorry. We've got obviously Bed Boomy, because again, really super interesting. He'll keep it funky. That's like fucking Rumpelstiltskin's Willy Wonka, like all of those like chaotic people, like true chaotic.
So you want to fuck Rumpelstiltskin.
Okay. So Boomy is like true chaotic good. Like a lot of people think they're chaotic good, but he's like actual chaotic good.
Facts.
And he'd be wacky as hell. And then although she's like rad as hell, I would have to
You're fucking lost, dude.
Behead. I know. I don't know. I think she's
I'm gonna
rad.
Have all sorts of interesting blood sex and you're not.
I know. Like I wish that it was her. It's a damn shame.
What a shame.
Okay, so real quick.
Mad woman in the attic.
Okay.
That's you.
Am I the mad woman that you keep in the attic?
Yeah,
squirreled
I was
away?
Gonna say I'm more of the type who would just be like, don't go in my attic.
Don't go
anyway,
in my there's somebody weird there.
Don't go in the attic. Don't worry about it. It's fine. Anyway, I'll be in the attic if you need me. Recording a podcast.
Although, I'm going to be honest, I squirrel away every part of my personality that's not directly relevant to the situation.
I put mine in the basement.
That's so true. Women tend to be in the attic and...
Men are in the dungeon.
Interesting. Yeah. Let's write an essay
Facts.
On that. Somebody do that.
Oh my God. It's about dominance. I'm straight up going to say, you could argue that it's the unnatural positioning of men and women, where men are below and women...
That's honestly, that could be it.
You could read it that way. That, and I think, like, attics are also more, like, associated with the home and the place of dwelling, where our, like, basements and dungeons are more of, like, the bad and the evil and the jail
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, or even, like, you know, because it is the ingenue, it's interesting that they're kept in the attic, where they're still pure and still above everything and still on this, like, weird feminine pedestal, but then, like, you know.
And they can still be visited.
They can still be seen through the windows, like, anything that, like, and usually it's men keeping, like, freaky plants or, like, you know, gremlins in the basement.
Joanna.
Oh, Joanna's, like, absolutely woman in the, I'm not mad woman in the attic. I guess, like, the city on fire. Okay, so let's do a quick fire of these things, okay? You ready?
Yeah.
102.
Creepy cleanliness.
Oh, I'm so sad that we can't talk about this
My
on the podcast.
Fucking fetish.
Creepy cleanliness is also something
your fetish.
I love.
It's sexy.
Oh, it's so good.
Next.
253.
Horror hippies. These guys don't really mean to bring peace and love with them.
Oh,
is what this says.
Oh, that's like anytime you get a cult that's like peace and love, think Midsommar, you know?
Or I specifically liked, I think about Bad Times at the El Royale.
Oh, yep.
I love that fucking flick.
Ooh.
Next.
All right, next we got 209.
Lots of twos.
Mm-hmm.
Gestapo.
What is that?
So this is just Nazis, but they're doing dark magic.
Jesus
also.
Christ. That makes it like double evil. You ever heard Hat on a Hat? They're like, it's a ghost and they're Nazis. Also, why did the Nazis get to like skirt death? Fuck
so,
them.
So, actually, we do not have time to talk about this, but there is an entire like history of like Nazis and the occult that's like.
Oh, yeah.
But like this also, like, it comes about in really mundane ways. Like, straight up, like Call of Duty zombies. Like, not only are you fighting Nazis, the most evil people alive, they're also undead.
Oh, no, they love pairing ghosts and Nazis. Again, like, for a lot of different reasons that we don't have time to get into. We gotta keep going.
Well, can I give the last thing? Is I think part of it is just the catharsis of you're allowed to bring Hitler back from the dead and beat the shit out of him.
To kill him again.
And everyone's allowed to.
Yep, yeah.
Like, and I think that's just a nice catharsis.
Yeah, oh my God, yeah. We gotta keep going. Diggs!
Next!
Diggs, follow me! Grab my hand! We gotta keep going. I'm dragging you along. All right,
I'm
188.
With you. Fate worse than death.
Someone suffers a fate
so horrific that death doesn't seem so bad in comparison.
That pretty much describes all of it. We've got, you know, 1984, we've got fucking, you know, immortality, but as a punishment, we've got, you know.
We've got, and in that order.
And in that order, exactly. We've got 449.
Skeleton crew.
Oh! Diggs, why didn't any of these come up for the rest of the thing? God damn it! Okay.
You're the one rolling.
That's fine. All right, skeleton crew, we've got, you know, the Black Pearl, we've got any kind of, like, fucking ghost ship pirates.
That and, like, the actual definition of a skeleton crew where there's fucking barely anyone operating a vessel that's too big to be operated by that number of people.
Ooh. Which is even, like, museums at night, which is, like, you know, working the night shift with a lot of people. Oh! All right, okay, next we've got 310.
Made from real Girl Scouts. Cannibalism! Oh.
I think we did this one before in either an episode that we lost or in a real one.
It might be
one.
In the lost tapes.
It might be in the lost tapes. We did it, boys. We did cannibalism.
We got it back to cannibalism.
All right. We've got three more left. We've got 113.
Crusty caretaker. The man responsible for cleaning a typical haunted house and intimidating visitors. Riff Raff!
Who is, hey, let's be honest. Abigail, this is for you. He's hot. I agree.
He's not.
Riff Raff is hot. He's got the intensity of a hot person.
Riff Raff is not hot.
Abigail, this is my gift to you. Now I want every genre blind listener to affirm Abigail's idea that Riff Raff is hot, because he is.
Riff Raff's not hot.
We've got next one. We've got 287.
Join us.
This is genre blind.
It is genre blind. My favorite version of this is in The Guy Who Didn't Like Musicals. There is a song called Join Us and Die. They have like a couple singers that they really severely like underuse their talent. They're never cast as leads. And like, I guess it kind of makes sense because then they get to play like more dynamic characters, but they give one of their singers like full range to just powerhouse this song, and it's just fucking, ooh, it's so good.
It's the temptation. It's the convince me. It's the join us.
It is the convince me.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. All right, last one. You ready? 100 flat.
Creepy children singing.
Always the nursery rhymes.
Do you remember when fucking Disney tried it, when they came out with Age of Ultron, and they were just like, what if all of the ads were just a really creepy version of I've Got No Strings from Pinocchio?
Jesus Christ.
Do you remember that?
Hey, listen, I don't know why Disney's allowed to do shit. Hey, real quick, have you ever noticed how all the time Disney, like, writers, I feel like, are screaming for help? They're just like, the corporations are bad. Anyway,
yeah.
Back to work at Disney.
Yeah. Brad Bird will write a whole movie about how like wanting things without innovation is the downfall of humanity, and then just continues to make Disney.
Yeah, I feel like this is them like really trying, like, blink twice if you need help.
Brad Bird, are you okay? Like, The Incredibles 2 was just like, please
help.
Like, I feel like Incredibles, they straight up were like, here's what's happening to us.
I know. And we were all just like, ha ha ha, great movie, thank you. And every single one of their movies, there's like a secret evil corporation. And we're just like, that sounds like somebody who's working under a secret evil corporation.
Monsters, Inc. is like,
Jesus,
beat by
right?
beat. Hey, guys.
Yeah.
We could be harnessing laughs, but we're not.
When did Disney acquire Pixar? I bet it was right around that time.
I have no fucking clue. I think it was after the weird period, right? Where they made Lilo and Stitch and Treasure Planet and all the good fucking movies.
Maybe. So as you move into spooky season, keep an eye out for all of these tropes and, you know, impose them on whatever media you're watching. Want to hear my October list?
Yeah.
All right. We've got Labyrinth, Dr. Horrible, Over the Garden Wall, Malignant, Rocky Horror, Reanimator, Repo: The Genetic Opera, The Lighthouse, for some reason, don't ask why, Hereditary,
Sexy.
Silence of the Lambs, Coraline, Pan's Labyrinth, and Twin Peaks.
My list is, I'm just over and over and over again going to make everyone double feature Reanimator and Bride of Reanimator with me.
Why not double feature Rocky Horror and Repo: The Genetic Opera?
Because I'm not trying to have sex with my friends.
Oh, no.
That's all, folks. If you like what we got here, you can follow us at Genre Blind Podcast on Instagram. And you can follow us at Annie DTR and Memento Mortsafe on both Instagram and TikTok. You can email us at genreblindpodcast@gmail.com. We've been getting some emails that are very heartwarming that we replied to directly, and we're waiting on a response. Jesus Christ, my dudes.
We've been getting some incredible engagement. You guys are the coolest. Can I just say, like, every time something happens, Diggs kind of pokes me and says, hey, check the Instagram, or like, hey, check out this email, and I like almost cry. Y'all are the coolest.
Also, I will say this. Hey guys, welcome to spooky season. I'm gonna put on my serious hat real quick. I do run the email email and stuff, and I appreciate all engagement. Please do not be mean to me over email. I like to have a good time, and I like to have fun, and I get jokes and like being teased, and it's all good. But if you're coming into the email, like, I don't care if you send me hate mail. That's fine. You can tell me to go shove whatever, wherever. That's fine. I get that enough. But if you're trying to pal around, don't just be mean to me in the email. It's very off-putting and makes me uncomfortable. So, let's just lay off of that. Thank you.
I mean to Diggs, but only because we've known each other for longer than we care to admit.
Yeah, Annalie has permission, and she goes for the stuff that really guts me and not the superficial stuff that just makes me grumpy at my job.
Hey, if you're gonna cut, you gotta cut somewhere lethal.
Yeah,
what's
like,
the point?
If you're gonna be mean to me, fucking be mean to me. Come get me. But anyway, happy spooky season. Feel free to DM us at any point and we'll just tell you what movie to watch.
Oh my god, straight up, we'll always advise.
Stay tuned for shenanigans.
Stay tuned for some shenanigans.
Okay, so now that we're not recording, should I fuck my skeleton before Halloween or after?
I mean, you gotta fuck it on Halloween.
I'll be in Maryland.
Fuck it before then.
Okay.
Fuck it before, yeah. She deserves to, like, ride out the high of, yeah.